Hey everybody, this is Sean Drover from Act of Defiance, and you are listening to Focus on Metal. Crank it up.
Hey, Metalhead, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to episode 249 of Focus on Metal. Hope you guys have had a good week since the last time we spoke. And the last time we spoke wasn't last week. Be sure to go back and catch last week's episode with great bass player Mike LaPond from Symphony X, as well as Mike LaPond's Silent Assassins. Lots of good response about that show. So if you're wondering what all the fuss is about, definitely go back and check that one out. We had a great talk with Mike. So speaking about great talk, this week we've got two of them. So if you're wondering why this week's episode is called Metal Defiance, well, when you got a show that has a guest from the band Act of Defiance, as well as a guest from the band Metal Allegiance, what do you get? You get Metal Defiance, or you get Act of Allegiance. And I just thought Metal Defiance sounded more metal, so I went with it. So as I said, two great guests this week. We've got Sean Drover from Act of Defiance, as well as Alex Skolnick from Metal Allegiance. So we've got so much good stuff this week. Two great guests with lots to talk about that we want you guys to all know about, that we decided this week was going to be more of a music light episode. More talk, less music. Doesn't mean no music, just less music than normal. So we're going to skip track of the week and only going to have a few cuts interspersed throughout it. Like I said, great guest. Alex had lots to say about Metal Allegiance, as well as everything else he's involved with. And of course, Sean Drover, excellent guest. I talked to his brother Glenn a couple years back, and I have to say that Sean is also another great person to talk to. Excellent interview. Hope you guys enjoy both of these. So now I got the big choice, right? Who am I going to run first? Both these bands are really killer acts. They're very important in metal, and we definitely want to give each of them equal time and equal billing, but I'm going to have to side with Alex on this one just because he is a returning guest here on Focus on Metal. We talked to Alex a while back about his book. It was a great interview then. So we're going to give the second timer the billing first. So I'm going to talk to Alex Skolnick first about Metal Allegiance and everything else that he's got going on. And after that, we'll move right on to Sean Drover talking about Act of Defiance. So pour yourself a tall pint of Trooper Ale, relax, and enjoy. Hey, metalheads, kick back, relax, raise the horns, and stay tuned for another original Focus on Metal, Metal Side Chat, with your host, Scott Thompson. Hey, Alex, how we doing, man?
Hey, Scott, doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while, but I know you've been a busy guy.
Yeah, things have been all over the place. Good way.
Awesome, man. So let's dive into a little bit about what you've been up to. And so before I forget, it kind of hasn't been played out very much out there yet, but one thing you're going to be involved with coming up in February, right, is that Axes and Anchors cruise?
Correct, yes. That's the first guitar-centric cruise.
Yeah, and it sounds really interesting that the number of people you have involved between bands and, you know, guys like you and Zach and folks on there, and it sounds like a pretty intense 4 days.
Yeah, a lot of great players. You know, it's going to be workshops and gigs. And it's really the first one of these events for the guitar enthusiasts. You know, the thing about these cruises, they're fun for the music fans, but they're fun for the whole family. You can bring anybody.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I know that some people I know, like Satriani and stuff, they've done these, you know, workshop things and stuff like that. Yeah. But I think it's really cool combining that kind of idea plus for some performance and doing it, you know, 4 day cruise. And it like I said, it sounds like a really awesome package for someone to want to be going to.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Awesome. So, of course, you know, you guys out there, check the website on that and see the great lineup. It's definitely just a kick-ass thing. You don't want to miss that. And you get to hang out with Alex. How cool is that?
That's right. And learn.
And that website is axesandanchors.com. Once again, great to have you on the show. One reason, of course, is I consider you to be an honorary East Coaster.
I am. I was raised in the wrong place.
So it's
I came back.
Yeah. now you're on the right coast, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, I enjoy visiting the West Coast, but it never felt right, and I never understood why. I think from the first time I came to the East Coast as an adult, which was actually to make the first Testament record. I was fresh out of high school. The East Coast energy, I just relate to it a little more.
That definitely tells me why you probably get along really well with Portnoy, and so that works.
That's an East Coast guy.
Absolutely.
Like our project is very East Coast. People don't know Mark Mangy as well. They will, but that's a true Long Island guy. Portnoy grew up in Long Island, and Dave's a little more mellow. You know, even though he's from the Midwest, Dave Ellison, he was in Southern California in the early Megadeth years, and now Arizona. Fits in just fine out there.
So
we need him to balance the rest of us out.
Glad you brought Mark up. So how'd you get Mark into this project? Because he's kind of the interesting, extra character in all this. And I kind of want to make sure that we bring his involvement in Metal Allegiance, right to the forefront.
Sure. Well, it was actually the other way around. He got us involved. The whole thing was his brainchild. Mark's a guy that, he's played in some good local bands. But his career, he's always had a knack and a flair for organizing events, presentation, business. So, he really was good on that side of things, which is, a little needed in the rock world. Mm. So he became a product representative for a few different companies, such as Hardkey Basses, Shure Microphones, and others. So a lot of us know, in the industry know him that way.
Sure.
Fans don't know him yet. But he's got an amazing drive, and he saw this as a thing that needed to happen. And, I think as a fan, he felt a great metal record needs to come out. Mm. And these are the guys to do it. And, he has some musical ideas of his own, and he was very respectful of it. He brought him in. We didn't have to use him, no pressure. Yeah, but we actually used some of the really good ones, some great riffs. And I just having him there, to egg us on, give us the thumbs down if we're sounding lame, sounding too emo or something. No, that didn't happen. he's sort of the fifth Beatle, fourth Metal Allegiance member, but he's every much a part of it, and he's part of the reason we're all doing it.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure the people, knew about Mark, because obviously, when people look at it first, they think of the big guns with you and with Portnoy and with Dave, but, I know there was that important fourth guy.
We're all attached to well-known bands.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, he's a guy. They won't know his name, but they definitely will after this.
Yeah. And just want to make sure that he gets out there and gets his credit for it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I also want to mention before I forget that the webisodes, the way you guys put those out, I think it's great. I think I actually commented on Twitter about it. It's kind of like, mucho metal in under 2 minutes. Track by track, you get in, get out. They're really well done, and I think it keeps people engaged.
Yeah. That's exactly right. They're fun. They give just a taste of the songs. You don't get the whole song. We're not going to give it away just yet. But, and it also shines a light on the process.
Right.
All that footage is taken from a longer form recording, which is going to come with the bonus version of the album. So there will be a making of DVD that will include extended
versions of all those clips.
Right. And of course, when you get that deluxe version, you also get the great cover you guys did of We Rock as well. So two good reasons to get the deluxe version.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like them. And I like the fact that it was really cool. I guess I got a little advantage already, you know, having the songs, but to see like the webisode on Scars and seeing the vocals that Mark and Christina are doing and then actually hearing it in the song as well, it was pretty cool to put those two together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They work great together.
How did you guys come up with the idea of using Can't Kill the Devil as your lead-off single for this one?
I think, it was a really favorite track. And I think initially it's funny, when you put out an album, it sounds like that's what was planned and that's how it came out. And then the reality is it really takes shape as it goes along. Initially we were going to do covers and maybe some originals, but we had to see how the original went with the writing process. The writing process went so well that we were just looking at less and less covers until finally we said, you know what, the whole album's going to be originals. And also, originally the album was going to be more in the thrash direction. But as it went along, we explored all these different areas, which made sense for all these. That was just how it flowed. We realized, okay, you know, there are probably more than one tune on there that could be considered, you know, classic thrash.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But I think since that was the direction that inspired, you know, we initially wanted to do a great thrash record. I Can't Kill the Devil was very representative of that.
Looking at all the songs, and again, like you said, I mean, and now you got this whole collection together, you can go back and kind of look at them and play Monday Morning Quarterback. And I almost was, if I was the record industry guy looking at this, I would be looking at it and going, well, geez, like a song like Scars to me hits right down the middle. It has all the great elements on there, but it's got that kind of that middle of the road tempo, and it just seemed to have everything that would speak to a lot of different people, as opposed to people that might listen and not have the fine appreciation for Chuck's voice like a lot of us do.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's true. You know, I like the idea of a record having diversity. You know, I try to do when I do my instrumental projects, I try to have a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
You know, this is a metal project where, you know, I'm clearly a driver's in one of the driver's seat. I'm not the only driver, but I'm in a driver's seat as a main songwriter and producer. So I'm all about the diversity. My last recording that I produced was my acoustic instrumental world album. That's right. Called Planetary Coalition. And I've got some great Cuban artists on there. I've got great Indian artists on there. Rodrigo y Gabriela, amazing guitarist. But one thing I definitely wanted to do was cover a lot of ground, because you know I love world music. But I just pick one of those styles, for example, Cuban music. It's wonderful. Sometimes by the time I'm midway through an album, I need something else.
Yeah.
Because it's such a similar flavor. And I'm like that with metal bands too. I don't always want to hear a whole record of the same vocal style. So I think with this, it's almost like it's like a great hour on the radio, on a metal radio show, where they're just playing great songs from different bands. Only it happens to be just different variations of the same band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And definitely, I mean, you guys have the diversity, even within the songs. I mean, with Wait Until Tomorrow, I mean, I never in my life thought I was going to see a song where the vocals said Doug Pinnick and Jamie Josta. But you guys did it, and it freaking works. It's so cool.
Yeah, it actually works. For some reason, those voices just fit the part.
Yeah.
And they were available. You know, there were numerous factors. It was like, okay, there's the voices we hear, there's the ones that are available to do it. I mean, luckily with each tune, we had several options in mind, just in case, because yeah, it's so crazy with schedule. But now that those guys sang on it, I can't imagine it any other way.
Yeah, yeah. It must have been interesting, too, on how you guys, when you had this collection of songs together, of deciding how you're going to sequence them. And I thought it was a pretty bold move on your part to actually lead it off with Gift of Pain. I mean, granted that, you know, Randy's a big-name vocalist, but to put a song with that much vocal heft as the first one, I thought was a really interesting move.
Well, I think, you know, the moods of each song affected. I mean, we were talking about the webisodes before, Can't Kill the Devil. Not only was the song itself, but it was really that part that we. It just feels like a lead in. Just you know, it sets it up. And in the case of Gift of Pain, it sets up. We just decided we want to come out all guns blazing.
Yeah, well, you certainly did. I initially I looked through it and I said, "Well, gee, what would I lead off with?"
Yeah, I mean, there's some other ones we might have tried. We tried different options and different versions.
Yeah,
that's something, you know, you hear an album a certain way, and then it's forever. That's how it is. You can't imagine it any other way.
But oh yeah,
I remember reading when Sgt. Pepper was first released on CD. That they originally had a different order. And with the CD, you know, the magic of a CD player, you could actually pre-program the tracks to hear the original one. Now technology has come so much further. But, you know, and I remember I could not imagine, like, how could they have thought of arranging it this way, you know? But that's how these things are. You know, they get, you live with it, you change, you know, you go back and forth. Sometimes you don't agree. We definitely had some, you know, we got along great. We had a great time doing this. But one of the few times we had butted heads, it was the set list. And then, a couple of us wanted one thing, a couple of us wanted another, but then somebody would make a suggestion, and then suddenly it changed everything, and we all loved it.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, you know, my initial pick probably would have been to say, oh, let's put Pledge of Allegiance first, just because it's almost like that statement of intent type of thing, and put that up front. But
right.
But after I'm looking through and I listen through, I'm like, I'm actually glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. I think that was a good closer. That either had to be the opener or the closer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you got this, you know, Triangulum, which is just really cool. And I liked on the webisode of you guys trying to remember the order of the different guitar parts. That was great, but that's right, a great right. track.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, well, that one, that's one where, you know, you really get to hear Dave Ellefson get to shine, because he, you know, that first part was based on a fully fleshed out composition of his that he had recorded. We tweaked it a little bit, you know, it made the guitar sound a little more like me, but then the second part, that was a collection of sort of more prog riffs that I had, that I wasn't sure I'd be able to put to use. Mm. You know, they're a little too prog for Testament. But, you know, I play them with somebody like Mike Portnoy, and then, wow, yeah, okay. These riffs have a home now.
I love that one. Just it's pretty amazing. Now, when those guys were doing their different lead stuff for that, did a lot of them just do it where they were and send that stuff to you, or did they come in and work with you?
Those were mostly sent.
Okay.
You know, I would just mark a spot on in the track and just tell them, you know, who is following and who, yeah, you know, what type of thing to play. You know, maybe. But yeah, I gave them freedom too. I wanted them all to try a couple different things.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was fun to, you know, be in the role of working with other people. So it's not, you know, yourself. You're actually working with, you know, you can be totally objective when it's other guitar players you're working with,
right.
Which is fun. I like it. I like not having to be judgmental the way I am about myself.
Yeah. Although I'm betting you still, no matter how much you try not to be, knowing you, you probably still are.
It's unavoidable.
There you go. And of course, I don't think I've ever seen on a metal album anywhere that when I look through the credits that I see the words additional bass. And I look on Let Darkness Fall and I can't believe I see additional bass. And you got Mark and Rex on there. And I thought, that's just classic right there.
Yeah, well, there's also, you know, that's almost like a couple different tunes.
Yeah, that whole middle section is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
When I listened to that one, I went right back to your World album, listening to that middle section, and I was like...
Oh, thank you. I think that just carried over. I was so fresh off that record.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I played on... But Allegiant, I actually could have fit on that record.
Yeah.
But it seems to, it's nice because you don't expect that. Especially because the song follows that blistering Gibson Pain.
Yeah. And what else is interesting on it was that you didn't use like any kind of a stock transition to go from that first part in Let Darkness Fall into that other part. And I actually had to like stop and go back and listen to it again because I thought, Did I miss this or what? But the way you guys did it was really just pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a, you know, tearing it down and building it back up.
Yeah, no, I definitely was digging it. Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, when you guys decided that, you know, okay, we're going more and more into this whole original direction, did you guys get a little nervous about it at all? Where now things were changing a lot, or was it like you said, just it worked out so well that you really never gave it a second thought and just went, yeah, all right, original, let's go for it?
It just happened very naturally.
Awesome.
Yeah, we did. You know, we didn't give it too much thought. We just sort of let the process happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we just didn't have any preconceived notions.
Awesome.
It just wouldn't have made sense to do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and as it went along, then, you know, once we got to a certain point, we realized, okay, this is working. Mm-hmm. Let's just keep doing what we're doing, and it's gonna happen on its own.
Yeah.
But it was, I think if we had forced it, that wouldn't have been a good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you force it. You know, you think, okay, we have, you know, it's the Super Bowl. We have to make a record, you know. And I just think art, maybe that works in sports.
Yeah.
I would know. I'm not that athletic, but...
You and me both.
But in art, that's definitely not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to accept when something's not working.
Yeah.
And I think we would have, you know what I mean? Like, worst comes to worst, we could have done a cool cover record. I don't think it would have been as valuable as this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wouldn't have been as... We would have done a fun cover record. That would have been it. But, you know, because we didn't force it, we got something so much more exciting.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Now, I know you guys have done a lot of live appearances. You've had a lot of killer people come in and step in and do stuff with you and all that. Now, once the album comes out, is there plans afoot to try to put together a more full-fledged touring schedule?
We're dealing with that now.
Okay.
It's not an easy proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody has different schedules. Even if you look at just the core group of us,
yeah,
there are, you know, the one sense of pressure that we did feel was that, you know, we all have impending album cycles.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we had to get this record done before we get swallowed by our album cycles. So we made a decision. You know, we're gonna do this. We're going to try to play whenever we can. Some shows you won't have all of us. You want even some of our core members, but we want to at least have like one of the core members if we do a show.
Right.
And so far we've been, you know, we have the album release show, which is going to have like a half a dozen people.
Right. And you're going to have it on the East Coast, too, which is very cool.
And it's going to be on the East Coast, yeah. The first one, proper Metal Elites and so on the East Coast. We have a show in Mexico with a slightly scaled-down version. We'll have a show in Japan, but that's part of Loud Park, so a lot of us will already be there with our other bands.
Right.
So we'll have a sort of medium version of the group. And then we're looking at the NAMM show. There's always, you know, cruise ships. We did Shiprocked February, which was awesome. And we will probably do more stuff like that.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I know that everywhere that you guys have done stuff, no matter what guys were there or weren't there, everything I read about it is super positive. So I think that's one thing you guys have going for you is that I haven't really read any of the normal internet trolls complaining about things they shouldn't complain about or whatever else. It's always been really positive about what's going on with Metal Allegiance.
What are they
going
to say? Yeah, I mean, the only ones who are complaining are the ones that will complain about anything.
Yes, yeah.
I even said I was given a workshop the other day, and you know, I said, you know, imagine if Sergeant Pepper came out today with the internet.
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, you know, these guys would be dismissing it with one word. Lame. What is this? Sounds like carnival music. And I think because we've opened it up to anybody with a big mouth to express their opinion. Yeah, you know, which it's, you know, in some ways, obviously, a free open internet is a good thing in a lot of ways, but that's definitely one of the downsides.
Right.
Is, you know, you have these armchair critics that are not qualified to talk about music and try to impose an opinion on others. It's so nice now that people who actually know about music, the real journalists and listeners and people who can formulate a sentence. they seem to like it.
Oh yeah. 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 No, like I said, it's great to see those people just, you know, all really positive stuff about talking about it.
They're going nuts. And you know what? I'd be fine. I actually haven't seen anything, not
100%
totally positive, but you know, even if I did, as long as they could say, well, I wish the song went in this direction and it went in this, or, you know, this reminded me of something else, whatever. I mean, as long as it's done in a constructive way. But even then, I haven't seen that. So
nice.
It's just been great.
Yeah. I, you know, it's definitely a absolute kick-ass album, and I'll tell you, September 18th can't come soon enough for people to get their hands on this, and it is going to be really nice to hear the wider public at large.
Now,
yeah,
going fast.
Yeah, and you guys have got some great packages also. I should mention that available, and people can go up to metalallegiance.com. There's a bunch of different places to buy it, but you guys have got some nice T-shirt packages and vinyl and everything. So I urge people to go up there and definitely get the physical product, too. I think that's
the
way to go.
You're going to want the physical product.
Before I let you go, any good Testament news? I know you guys have been playing dates here or there. Anything else going on with Testament?
Oh, yeah, it's nice. There's the end of the album cycle is both a blessing and a curse.
Mm.
The nice thing about it is, you do occasional one-off. We've done a couple very fun shows, Heavy Montreal. We flew in and did that. We just did the Riot Fest in Denver. This 3-day festival was, as most diverse festival, I think, out there. Ice Cube was on it, the Pixies, and Testament and Anthrax. So, we're doing these occasional shows. We'll do Loud Park, but we are buckling down, and the album is more than half written. So that's the only downside is the pressure and, where's the next album, but it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah.
We are working on it. We're planning to have it written and recorded by the end of the year.
Nice. In the meantime, they're going to have this great album, and I will say that classic San Francisco scene is really well represented on here too. Between yourself and with Mark on there as well, and
Gary,
yeah,
none of us have been on anything together.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean,
hearing that.
The other night, I was watching the Death Angel documentary and stuff, and I was thinking, geez, if I got to talk to Alex, I was going to ask him about, hanging out with those guys or whatever. And then I'm seeing that, Mark's all over this album. This is like, it's really great to have that and Chuck and stuff. So definitely some good representation. And when you look at that core group, you go, oh yeah, I can see where Alex talks about the thrash really being the root of this. So it's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, It's been awesome once again to have the almighty Alex Skolnick on the show, and of course another East Coast guy, and hopefully the weather is treating you well in New York.
Yeah, hanging in there.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking a little bit of time today to talk with us on Focus on Metal, and looking forward to talking to you again very soon.
Likewise.
Awesome.
Thanks, man. Good to be on.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Have a good one, man.
There you go. My chat with Alex Skolnick of Metal Allegiance and, of course, of Testament. And I should also mention the Alex Skolnick Trio as well. Great guy. And, of course, remember, this week, Metal Allegiance comes out. So go out and pre-order that one. As we talked about, some great bundles that are out there. I know that Alex has been tweeting up a storm about the bundles that are available. So is Dave Ellefson. So some great bundles there. You can even get vinyl, T-shirts, all different formats of the release. So go up to metalallegiance.com, and there's links up there to go to all the different places where you can order yourself a copy of the brand new one from Metal Allegiance. And as I alluded to in the interview, I've heard the whole thing. It's fantastic. And I should also mention that I was the last interview that Alex did that day. So the guy must have been tired. I'm sure I asked him some of the same questions other people did, but you never know it. Guy's as personable as always, on the ball, and just a great guy to talk to. So speaking about great guy to talk to, I got to tell you, Sean Drover, awesome interview. But beyond that, a little behind the scenes is that Richie and I were actually late in getting in contact with him. And I had a bitch of a time getting home to the studio that day. Traffic was insane. Thought I had time, but accident and all this crap. And actually, Richie was leaving my house, figured that I was going to be a no-show for the day. Show up just as he's pulling away from my driveway, and he says, he want to give it a shot. And I knew we were really late, and I said, yeah, well, what the hell, let's do it. Had everything already set up in the studio, ready to go. So just really quick to fire everything up, gave Sean a call, and son of a bitch, if a guy didn't answer, totally cool. Has like, yeah, no problem at all. He didn't mind that we were late. never called us on it or anything, and just a great interview. So I just can't say enough good stuff about the guy. So hopefully you enjoy this great talk that Richie and I had with Sean Drover about his brand new band, Act of Defiance, which also includes Chris Broderick, so two former Megadeth members. And we did try to steer away a bit from the whole Megadeth question there. I know that I'm sure these guys have been asked to death about Megadeth, so we did try to steer away from that for the most part in the interview. But when we did talk about it, Sean was super cool about it, answered the questions. Again, I can't say enough good stuff about this guy. So absolutely, just like Metal Allegiance, Act of Defiance is another band you guys should go ahead and support. Go out and buy the album. It's called Birth and the Burial. It's available everywhere. So again, go out, support these guys, pick this one up. They're also going out on tour. As of right now, they don't have an official website up, but you can go up to Facebook and go to Active Defiance Music, or you can also go to metalblade.com/Active Defiance, and all the tour dates will be up there as well. Got a great guest on tap for you, and of course, I have talked to his brother Glenn, which means I have none other than Sean Drover on the phone. And of course, they have a great new album out that he and Chris Broderick and a lot of couple other cool people, including a Massachusetts native, put it together. It's called Active Defiance, and we have the man himself on the phone. How are we doing tonight, Sean?
I'm good, my buddy. How are you?
Doing really good, doing good. As I said, I'm happy that you have a Mass native on the roster for Act of Defiance. Of course, it's a little weird to see him doing the four strings, but I'm happy that he's there nonetheless.
So am I. Dude, it's only two less strings. It's actually probably a little easier for him, so I'm probably doing him a favor.
Of course, I must look over at Chris occasionally and going, I wish I could rip a lead there, but it's cool to see him on board.
I've known Matt for 15 years. I mean, that's, you know, Matt's a good friend of mine, and it was just kind of a happy coincidence. You know, Shadows Falls decided to take a big hiatus for a while, and we were looking for a bass player. So it was really just as simple as making communicating between the two of us, and he was down for the gig. So I'm thrilled to have him with us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So Sean, are you sick and tired of getting asked about Megadeth?
No, I mean, look, that's always going to be part of my legacy. It's something that I'm really proud of. I had a lot of great experiences in that band.
Yeah.
But it was just a simple matter of just kind of looking at where I was at in my career and you know, wanting to make a change. And it's purely because I just wanted to be able to express the songs that I wanted to create and write. And, it's really that simple. I have nothing bad to say. In fact, I have really all good things to say about it. But you know, it's funny. At the end of the day, man, look, it's just music. We're not curing cancer here. This is not, you know, I just wanted to make heavier music and do some stuff that I wanted to do. It's really that simple. So
yeah, I got to say, very brave decision on your part to do that, because you're forming a new band and the music industry is what it is now. It's very, very brave decision.
Well, it's either brave or really stupid, isn't it?
Well, I said brave. You said the other one.
No, you know what? You know, at the end of the day, I'm just doing something that I really, truly believe in. And, you know, you go in with hopes that others will like it as well. I mean, you know, the feedback that I've heard so far is really even exceeded the expectations I had for it. So, you know,
yeah.
This record is it's pure, and it's exactly how we wanted to represent ourselves as musicians and as a heavy metal band. So, you know, that's all you can do at the end of the day.
Yeah. So did you call Chris, or did Chris call you? Like, can you fill us in on the formation of the band, the very beginnings of it?
Well, I just, you know, the Megadeth had a really big break. It was over a year, taking a year off. And I just kind of started to take stock of, you know, where I was at in my career and, you know, what I wanted to do. And I just kind of decided, you know, if I ever wanted to do something and branch out on my own, this would be a good opportunity to do it, because it wouldn't, you know, to give them plenty of time to find another drummer and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't want to do anything to mess anybody up career wise. So, when I kind of talked to Chris about it, he was thinking the same thing. So we just kind of said, you know, well, maybe we should just kind of join forces and do this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a strength in numbers kind of thing. And, you know, Chris and I get along very well. We share a lot of the same musical vision anyway. We both love heavy metal, like making heavy music. So it was kind of as simple as that. And then the whole process began of finding a band and all the putting all the pieces of the puzzle together to get to where we are now. So we did, we've done all that inside 6 months. So
yeah,
I think we did pretty good.
Yeah. So tell us about the search for a singer. Like how did you end up with the singer that you have now? Like, did you try other guys out or did you know straight away who you wanted to get?
Well, yeah, Matt, like I said, Matt was real easy to do. To get a singer was a little different. We did some YouTube searching and, you know, some friends of ours, you know, put some bugs in our ears about, you know, well, you know, check out this guy, check out that guy. And it basically came down to we sent maybe four or five different singers a couple of songs to, you know, to sing over here. Here's the tune. Here's some lyrics. Go for it. Let's see, you know, how you lay a vocal track down to it. So of all the singers that did it, Henry was certainly what we were looking for by a landslide. And, you know, come to find out that, you know, Henry has a lot of different, he's a very versatile vocalist. He can sing, you know, with a lot of melody, but he can also scream his head off and do that in about five or six different ways, and which is kind of what we wanted. We want a, you know, we wanted a dynamic singer. We didn't want just a melodic singer or just somebody who screams his head off all the time. We kind of wanted to have a hybrid of both, and Henry's definitely provided that in spades, so we're thrilled to have him with us.
Yeah,
I think it was definitely a good fit. You know, you listen to the album and you listen to, you know, even the songs, you guys have gotten a lot more adventurous with the songwriting as well, which I think is probably what you guys were always wanting to do, you know, in the prior band as well. So to have a singer that's as adventurous of that, I just thought that, like, wow, how do they find a guy that was just like they were musically? So I thought pretty cool fit.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you know, when Chris and I set out to do this record, the only thing that we said to each other was we wanted to make a really, pure heavy metal record. And Chris wrote five songs and I wrote five songs for the record. And we were just kind of, you know, file sharing, you know, here, check this out, check this song out. And we were kind of inspiring each other to really, you know, come up with some really interesting stuff. And you know, if you listen to the record, it's certainly not a one-dimensional record. And you got some songs that are complete thrash metal. You got some songs that are a little more almost old school kind of metal. I don't like to label stuff, but just to kind of give whoever's listening to this a kind of an idea. And there's a lot of other stuff too. There's stuff that's a little more prog oriented a little bit. And there's, you know, stuff with dynamics with acoustic guitar intros and stuff. And it's a very well-rounded multi-dimensional record, which is exactly what we wanted to do. We didn't want to relegate ourselves to only doing this or only doing that and putting ourselves in this heavy metal subgenre thing that so many people seem to want to put a band in. You know, I don't care about any of that. I just wanted to write heavy metal songs and you know, however they came out, that was fine.
Disguise for war. Freedom is
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Sean. I've listened to the album a couple of times. It is very varied. It's incredibly melodic, but in certain parts of it are really heavy, like Sepultura heavy. Like, I think the fourth track on it and some of the throwback is very Sepultura-like, and then the last track is like a classic thrash metal track. And there's some... Chris Broderick's playing on it is absolutely tremendous. Incredible player.
Yeah, Chris is a really good player. He's a very versatile player. He can, you know, he can pretty much do it all. So that's he just went in and did what he wanted to do in terms of solos and all that kind of thing. You know, there was, you know, I didn't tell him that, you know, even with my songs, I didn't say, you know, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. It's like, here's the tune. Do whatever you want to do it in terms of solos. Just have at it. And what you hear is the end result of that. So I think he did an amazing job.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting and is the fact that, you know, maybe a lot of people that are listening don't realize it, but I believe that a lot of what Chris did on the new album is all on 7-string as well, right? Which is more what he's comfortable playing.
Yeah. I mean, it is all a 7-string guitar, but Chris is comfortable playing both. I mean, he could probably play a 27-string guitar. He gravitates towards the 7-string. It just kind of opens up, you know, well, it's got 7 strings, so it gives you more options to kind of go, you know, to play lower or, you know, things of that nature. So some of the voicings you can provide using a 7-string are quite interesting. And I did the same thing. You know, I wrote a couple songs on this record that were on, you know, a song called Disastrophe. That's one of the first songs I've written on the 7-string guitar, but it was kind of an interesting thing for me to do that. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun doing it.
So you took 2 strings away from Matt and you took 1 and Chris took 1. So that's where the extra strings were.
So now we both have 7-string. Now we both have 7-string guitars. The other worked out.
Yeah, was there ever talk, Sean, of having a twin guitar band, or like even when you're going to play live, is Chris going to be able to play everything live that he did on the record?
That's, you know, it's a good question. We've talked about it briefly. I mean, you know, on the upcoming, you know, we are going to be touring in the fall, obviously, to support this record. That's all going to be announced soon. But we're talking about it. I mean, obviously, you know, with the one, you know, but it's a weird conversation because on the one hand, you can say, well, look, Sabbath did it, Pantera did it. They didn't seem to have any issues with it, but you know, but then again, you can, you know, okay, well, but Maiden and Priest, they have twin guitar attacks. So it's, Chris can certainly handle it on his own. I think it's just a matter of, do we want to bring someone else in as a touring guitarist to kind of support the rhythms that when their solo is going on. So that's to be determined. We're open to the possibility, but we certainly haven't made a decision on that yet at all.
Yeah. Well, I think the one guitar band is a bit of a novelty now. Like most of them have 2 guitars, so maybe that'll stick out a little bit, you know.
Maybe so.
Yeah,
you were doing the stuff through Pledge Music and doing the campaign there, and of course I noticed there was the round of golf with Sean Drover. You were just trying to get an extra golf, weren't you?
No, I just want to play golf. So, that's just a ploy for me to just go play another round of golf.
See, we're on to you. Stealing strings from Matt, getting the golf game in. Yep. Typical
well, it's all
stuff.
About, at the end of the day, it's all about me. So, you know, if I have to steal a couple of strings along the way, then so be it.
Nice. You know, in doing this one, were you able to experiment more with what you wanted to do with drums? A lot more freedom there as well?
Not necessarily. I mean, I just, you know, the song dictated how I wanted to perform on them. You know, I always try to play for the song. I'm not one of those dudes who want to break out and do a drum solo every 15 seconds of a song. That's, you know, you listen to Judas Priest and stuff like that. I never hear that in any of their tunes. So I figured, you know, you know what I mean? And a lot of the younger bands, the real extreme stuff, calls for that. And man, believe me, I'm a big fan of it. I love all the really super extreme stuff, you know, Marduk and all kinds of stuff like that. Nile, I'm a big fan of Nile, Cannibal Corpse, all that stuff. I think it's fantastic. But I think because it calls for it a little more, but when the song's a little more streamlined, a little more direct, to do a solo every 5 seconds, to me, just kind of, I don't know, maybe because I'm drilling down from a songwriter's perspective, because I wrote, you know, half of the songs on this record, I'm not trying to use it as a vehicle to showcase a drum solo, you know? I think you can get the point across, in different ways, you know, and if there's always parts in certain songs where you can kind of cut loose a little more, and that's all fine and dandy, but for me, I always try to service the song as much as possible. This band is not a vehicle for me to show off. It's a vehicle to try to make the best heavy metal songs possible.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's more like the reference that this, you know, with this album, you have kind of more, there's a more of a proggy element that's in there as well. And you've got different kinds of change-ups and things that allow you as a drummer to be able to transition from parts and things. And it's where, you know, in Megadeth, it was a little bit more, I hate to say formulaic, but there was more of a, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, solo type of thing. And you guys have experimented with arrangements, which you as a drummer is really what holds all that together and makes it work.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, someone has to drive the musical train and try to keep it from falling off the tracks. And again, that just depends on what kind of music you're playing. I mean, if you listen to something like Dillinger Escape Plan, I mean, they defy categorization. I mean, I think they're fantastic that's pure art as far as I'm concerned. But there's a method to what they're doing. And if there's everybody's cutting loose. It's just complete chaos. But yet it works for them, you know?
Right.
And that works for that kind of thing. But then you listen to something like AC/DC. Can you imagine doing something like that for an AC/DC song? It just wouldn't work, would it? Or a Zeppelin song. So you kind of got to find what works for the music you're creating, you know, and that could be, you know, that could be subjective as well. I mean, someone else could come into a situation and have a different viewpoint, but since this is something that I created, you know, Chris and I created, it's our music. That's kind of how, you know, the way what you hear on Birth and Burial is how we want it to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, essentially it's all about the songs for us.
Yeah. So Sean, I just want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. Did you have all of the music written before you found the singer, or was the singer involved at all in any of the writing?
No, Henry was definitely involved, and he was. We found him as we were writing the record.
Okay.
So we were several songs into the writing process when we, at the same time, looking for a singer,
okay,
looking for a bass player, looking for a record deal, all of those things. We were, you know, really doing a juggling act with trying to do 10 things at once. But once Henry came on board, you know, we were still writing songs, but it's like, here, dude, here's 4 songs that we have. You know, these 2 don't have lyrics. Here's a couple of ideas. Go to town. Let's see what, you know, see what you can bring to the table. And he came through with flying colors. You know, he wrote several songs on his own.
Okay.
He collaborated with me on 3 songs, and Chris wrote some songs lyrically as well. So it's a nice collaborative effort on the record between mm-hmm. 3 of us for lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, one thing, and I know it's always been a kind of a pet peeve of Richie, he stated it to several people, is, you know, some people, you know, when you get a couple of musicians from different bands together and people kind of lump it as a project, and then that band might put an album out and never tour. And it was really great to see on your initial press releases that you stated that you guys really desired to be a road dog band. And you really don't ever hear any bands come out and say that anymore. And I thought it was just so refreshing as a metal fan that you would just right out say that.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you call something a project, that's exactly what it is. It's something where some individuals get together and, you know, whether it's, you know, being in a tribute band or making a record and putting it out, it's a project. This is a band, dude. This is, and just like we said, we're throwing down from an old school sensibility where we want to be a blue collar, you know, meat potatoes traveling metal band. We want to go out and play for people who want to hear heavy metal music. I mean, you know, it's still, you know, with technology the way it is now, you can see everything's at your disposal in seconds. You can pull up any concert on YouTube now. You can steal music on torrent sites and all that kind of stuff, but you can't steal the concert experience. And a lot of fans, metal fans, certainly, they want to see that still. You can't, that's the one thing you can't take away from us is, now you can film it and put it on YouTube, but it's not the same, man.
That's
you
right.
know, the ones who really believe and support metal, they're the ones who are always going to come to the shows. And that's who we're catering to. That's who we want to cater to, those who still support this genre of music wholeheartedly. You know what I mean? They're there for the bands and they support the bands. Just, just like I did when I was younger.
Yeah, and definitely you got a good cast for that, right? I mean, that was one of the things, you know, like a band like Scar the Martyr. I mean, they've got hardcore fans that go to the show. So it's great that you've got that with Henry. And the same thing with Shadows Fall, too, is that they had that, you know, those hardcore fans that would go to their shows and support that band. So you've got this nice group of folks that you've already got this audience that you know were always out following them anyway. So hopefully that translates right over to AOD as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, obviously. You know, we've already come from established bands. I mean, certainly Matt, I mean, you talk about Road Dogs. I mean, Shadows Fall, they're the ultimate Road Dogs, like 15 years. I mean, it's, you know, and that's how, you know, again, that's how you maintain your fan base and not become a flash in the pan. It's going out there and playing for the people, you know. You can have a massive hit, you know, one day and be completely gone in 2 years because you don't follow that up to go out on tour and support what you're ultimately trying to promote.
That's right.
And that's the best way to promote what you're in a musical sense is to go out there and play for people. You know, you can have the best video in the world, but the attention span of, you know, people nowadays is so short that it's like, well, okay, well, where's the next cool band video? It's like,
yeah,
you know, you got to go out there and ram it down their throats and play live for the people who want to see metal.
Yeah. So, Sean, I can't let you go without asking you one final Megadeth question. What's the favorite album you played on with the band, and do you have a live show that stands out for you?
Favorite album that I played on was Endgame,
okay. And a live show, do you have a live show or a tour that you look back really fondly on?
Yankee Stadium.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat that one, can you?
No, you cannot beat it.
Awesome. Definitely looking forward to seeing you guys out on the road as well. Can't wait to see this lineup playing. Saw you several times with Megadeth here in Lowell, and you know, always, you know, fantastic show. My daughter's a drummer, and you know, she always was like eyes glued on what you were doing, and always a, you know, big fan of what you do. So can't wait to see you guys out on the road and see the stuff live. Now, when you do the stuff live, I mean, obviously you've got one album's worth of stuff. Are you going to supplement that with additional other material, or what's the plan?
I think it depends on the scenario. Obviously, if we've got a show that's going to be an hour, there's only so long Chris can do a guitar solo for, so we got to fill in some space. You know, again, that's to be determined. I mean, we really haven't even got to that point yet to this. Obviously, we're going to, you know, play the entire record. That's obviously that, you know, what's the most important is, and if there's time where we need to do a couple other songs, it could be anything, you know. I don't know. I really don't think we want to play anything from our past. It'd be refreshing to play something entirely different from that. I mean,
yeah,
but who knows what that would be. I mean, we could write a couple of songs and, you know, and start playing those. You know, I mean, we just haven't really had that discussion yet, but we're going to have to at some point for sure.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and of course, you know, in this age, when we were growing up, of course, you know, all the magazines, they had the ads, you knew what was going on, what albums were coming out, concerts and all that. And obviously now it's all social media. So of course, people listening and want to find out about tour dates or where to get a hold of you guys. What's the best places online for them to head to?
We're all over social media. I mean, we have, Active Defiance Twitter, Facebook. I mean, we're coming out with our own website really soon. We have our own Pledge Music page. You know, and then we have our individual social medias. It's very easy to find us. And all that information, you know, tours, and all anything pertaining to Active Defiance is going to be blasted out on all that stuff. So it won't be, you know, it'll be updated constantly as information comes in. So it'll be very easy to find any kind of information in regards to Active Defiance.
Nice.
Great. Awesome. Well, Sean, we really appreciate you taking some time today to talk to us. Appreciate you dealing with our lateness today, and really looking forward to when you guys hopefully come through the Boston area, that we go out and check out the show. And like you said, there's nothing like experiencing a band live, and we're definitely looking forward to that.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Sean. Have a good night.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Sean.
Bye. All right, there you go. Our talk with Sean Drover. And again, big thanks to Sean for dealing with our lateness and being such a nice guy. Hopefully, if you haven't picked up the AOD album yet, the interview will have given you a little bit more of a curiosity about checking it out. And I highly urge you to do that. And we played more of the melodic track off of that disc during the show today, but there's a lot of other great cuts on there, some real more extreme vocal stuff on there. Just a whole variety of things on that new album, The Birth and the Burial from Act of Defiance. I think I can safely say that we have given you a fully packed show this week between Alex Skolnick and Sean Drover. So besides thanking Alex and Sean for coming on the show this week, Richie and I also want to throw out a huge, huge ass thank you to the one and only James Kotak from the Scorpions. If any of you follow us on Twitter, you know that the Scorpions and Queensryche kicked off the U.S. leg of their 50th anniversary tour in Boston on the 10th of September. And James was super cool and got passes and tickets, the whole works. The guy was like I said on Twitter, the best host in metal today. We had a great time hanging out with James. Super hospitable guy. Can't say enough good stuff about him. And the show, phenomenal. Queensryche put on a great show, and the Scorpions were just absolutely fantastic. So if you've got tickets to see him on this tour, definitely you're in for a great night of music. And if you haven't scored tickets yet, I know that there's probably not many left, but do yourself a favor, check out when they're coming near you, and try to score yourself some tickets. Klaus is definitely one of those guys in metal that just has another one of those magical voices that won't quit. So again, thanks, James, for the hospitality and for also putting on one hell of a kick-ass show in Boston. And I wish you the best for the rest of the tour, and I'm sure that we'll be talking to you again very, very soon, my friend. So that is a wrap for another week of Focus on Metal. And of course, as I always say, you can keep up with us on Facebook and Twitter. And also, just to remind you that our main website is focusonmetal.net, and up there you can find all of our past episodes, be able to download or stream those, or at least a huge percentage of those. Some I still haven't put up yet. And also, there is our news and announcement blog, and that you can find at focusonmetal.blogspot.com. And that is usually also where, whenever I publish a brand new show, that the show announcement will be up there, as well as show notes, maybe some videos or extra stuff that goes along with the show. So again, you can find that at focusonmetal.blogspot.com. And if this is episode 249, that means that next week is the 250th episode of Focus on Metal. We've got a special show planned. We have one of two ideas that we discussed when we were driving into the Scorpion show. So one of those two great ideas will be the show for number 250. So be back here again, same time next week, to find out what that special episode is going to be. So that's it. There ain't no more for this week. So for myself, for Richie, for everybody else here at Focus on Metal, go out, get yourself some goddamn Scorpion tickets if you haven't already done it. Also, have yourselves a great metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
Focus on Metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Thank you.
still here? It's over. Go home.